You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 347. Today is Sunday, August 21st, and my name is Steve. No Hammy tonight, but I'm joined by Curtis. And Kurt, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the Eric Ibar trade, the terrible week of pitching, and some pretty forthright comments from Coppy on Matt Kemp's weight. But first, Kurt, and what else? This week marked the start of the Dansby Swanson era in Atlanta. So, Kurt, let's start here. Did you think this was the right move? You know, the timing and how they did it.
Well, I mean, it seemed like that this was, I know you guys have talked about this a lot, and I continued to be under the impression, even as of recently, that they would not, he and Albies would not get brought up this year. But then obviously when they were able to trade Ibar, it seemed to make perfect sense. Who else would you bring up? I mean, it was so funny listening to just a hysteria on the radio and everything else. You know, I mean, I was listening to Chuck and Chernoff, and they were, of course, joking that, you know, they were going to change the name to now be Hartsfield Jackson Swanson Airport with the Dansby Terminal. But it was, you know, I guess you were there the night, his opening night, right?
Yeah, I was.
I mean, for all the hope, I guess, and obviously they've never publicly said this, but not only was it Swanson's opening night, they were also, the Braves had a deal where they were selling $2 tickets that night. 680 the Fan also had a tie-in where you could get $6.80 better tickets that night. So really all things pointing to getting a crowd to Turner Field, which never materialized.
Well, and I had tweeted this like the night before. So the first Twins game, I'm going to make this up. There was something like 16,500 announced attendance.
Which means there was like 3,000 people.
Well, sure. And the announced attendance for the Swanson game, like you said, there were $2 tickets in honor of his new number and the 680 stuff. There was something like 18,200. I mean, it rose like 1,700. That's it. For and Swanson's debut, I was surprised. Like, I'm not doing the trash in the Atlanta.
Yeah,
fans,
no,
whatever.
No, no.
But I was just surprised, you know.
And it was a Wednesday night. It was a late, yep, sort of a late announcement of all that was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I went to the game today. The crowd was horrible. I guess they had a pretty good crowd last night, though.
The crowd looked pretty big last night.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully these moves are not just made for the business aspect of it, because if they are, it's not working.
Well, look, it's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. My son and I, when we were sitting at the game Wednesday night, we were very much like, oh, great. Okay. You know, the four spot is up. Kemp starts this inning. So we just need one person to get on to get a Dansby at bat. I mean, like, and that has filtered my game watching this whole week. As insane as I thought that it was that Snitker started Swanson in the one hole today. I mean, my God, let's just keep the pressure off a little bit for a little while. I was like, but heck yeah, five at bats for Dansby coming, which, you know, he went 0-for-4 with a walk. But yeah, I mean, I'm all about the Dansby. I do think that it was somewhat forced. I mean, John Hart said it that much that night. In the booth, or maybe it was in the paper, he said, quote, in a perfect world, we would have liked to have given him a little more time, but I think this presented an opportunity for us. And yes, Ibar was shipped out. It presented an opportunity, but they could have easily just played Darno there every night. Like, sure. What, you know, so to say that this wasn't about in any way publicity is disingenuous. You know, is this going to help him, right? Like, either this helps him or hurts him, because he's getting exposure to the major leagues and that's great. And he's going to start to see this pitching and get more comfortable and be more, you know, all that jazz. Right. And either it helps him or hurts him. I mean, he wasn't killing it in Mississippi. Like, over the 21 games leading up to his promotion, he was batting .229 with a .629 OPS. You know, there's not a lot of facts about the early call-up helps the guy the next year.
Right.
Roland's Office, which is a very good blog. People should read that. He had a blog posting about Tyler Buxton. You know, the Twins, he was the number two overall pick in 12 or 13 for the Twins. And he actually had almost as many above Class A games as Dansby did. And he was called up last year and he just got demoted because he was hitting 199. And he struck out 124 times in 109 games.
Yerch.
Like, you know, it's the confidence piece is the only piece that worries me about it. And, you know, everything you hear is he has a great head on his shoulders and all the tools, and that's not going to happen. And he's had some nice at-bats this week. You know, he's had that double, and he really squared up all the balls the first game that we were there, or that he got called up. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it just doesn't mess with his head if he has a rough 6 weeks.
Well, with that, we've seen, of course, we'll get to this later, but Tyrell Jenkins obviously just got sent down. We've seen Matt Whistler get sent down. We've seen Aaron Blair get sent down. We've seen Lucas Sims get sent down in the farm system. So do you think can we withstand another high-profile prospect coming up here and sort of bombing and getting demoted? I mean, I think it's sort of going to start to shake some people as fans that we've been fed that all these guys, and I get that they're young. I'm not throwing them out, you know. I always have to put all these caveats in, but it would be distressing to me if we have another guy come up. And I mean, or on the flip side, even if he struggles, can they send this guy back down? Does he get to struggle for the rest of the year?
Would be an entirely different stratosphere if they sent Dansby down compared to any of the starting pitchers. You know what I mean? So to answer your question, yeah, I think that would flip people out big time. The Blair Whistler stuff, it's, you know, it's troubling, and we've seen what a disaster the starting pitching rotation has become. But yeah, Dansby getting sent down, or once Albies comes up, and if he gets sent down, that would be real bad.
But even you don't think that they would send him down, even if the guy you were just talking about, if he's batting 150 and has struck out more times than he's, you know, had hits or something? I mean,
there's no way they're sending him down this year.
Right.
I just, you know, he gets too much of a pass, given that he's brand new and there's only 6 weeks left and, you know, the rosters are going to expand. I mean, there's just no way.
So you think they would just sit him down? They would let Darno,
I think they would. Yeah, they would give him, you know, they'd play him 4 out of every 6 games or 3 out of every 7 games or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is exciting. I mean, it's obviously this is the number one prospect in our farm system. So it is very exciting. He is now the I read something today. Darren Erstat was the last guy that was a number one overall pick to come up in the very next year after he was the number one overall pick. So he's moving rapidly. And I mean, it's, of course, the irony is that we're going to Arizona, and the guy that we traded is actually in the minors himself. So
it is so crazy. Yeah. So Kurt, any issue with Ozzie not getting the call up that same day?
Well, you know, you look at his numbers, they're so much better than
right, they're better than
Swanson's are. But I guess they've clearly defined which position these guys are going to play. I mean, if they haven't said it, this sort of cements it in silent, you know, absolution by putting him at shortstop. And so they've sort of got the second baseman job sort of filled with various guys, and so maybe that's why he's still there.
Yeah, and he's 19. Right. I mean, that to me is the best answer. Yeah.
And I actually missed until I was at this game that quietly Gordon Beckham has dropped to batting .218.
Oh my gosh, he's like 0 for 30 something since he returned from the DL.
Yeah, I had missed that.
And you know, and they got well. Yeah, I mean, he had that terrible at-bat after the rain delay, the double play, that luckily there were no outs with bases loaded, and he ended up tying it up anyway. But yeah, Beckham has fallen off the face of the earth. So, Kurt, the Dansby move, of course, was preceded by Eric Ibar getting traded to the Twins for infielder Mike Aviles and catching prospect, who knows, Mike Civic.
I was saying Civique.
Yeah, do you think, though?
I don't know. He's French. He went to LSU, so it's got to be some sort of French.
Okay, then Savique could be right.
Yeah.
So Aviles was all about making the money work out. I mean, they DFA'd him, right? So this was bolstering catching depth. And this guy was ranked 20th in the twin system at high A. This year, he slashed 282, 325, 380 with six home runs. I mean, I've read in a couple places that his ceiling really just projects as a backup. But still, another impressive move by Copy. You know, this guy is not a total stiff, obviously, already. Ibar was not going to be here next year. It was a pretty and another cool, out-of-the-box thinking, didn't think he could get it done, but did move by Copy, you know?
Well, and obviously, it's no mystery that one of the glaring needs for the team is catching depth, at least. So it just brings another guy in, as you said, that can add to that. People should go and listen to this interview that Coppola gave the MLB Network. We're going to be referencing it quite a bit tonight. He mentions straight up that what they have to address next year, which part of it was surprising, which is starting pitching.
Yes.
And the other part was obviously the catching. Now, this guy's not going to play any role in that, but there's a need there. So, yeah, it is a, you know, a crafty little move to go and get something that could potentially help them out, at least with some depth.
So, Kurt, next up, let's talk about some headlines from the week, but first, a quick break. So, Kurt, is headline number one, the Braves are bad this year?
I'd missed that.
No, I know. I was digging kind of deep and found that.
They have 19 home wins. It's almost the end of August. They have 19 home wins.
Well, having the worst record in baseball will contribute to that, right? So all the starting pitching injuries, all the demotions, I mean, it really seemed to catch up with them. I mean, we were talking last week, right, about the Folty, Whalen, De La Cruz, Jenkins rotation was not really the future. And apparently it's no longer the present.
Right.
Because it was pretty bad. I mean, Whalen had a decent start. De La Cruz had one decent start and then a really bad one. Tyrell got so crushed, he got sent down to AAA. Folty, you know, only went five innings. He only gave up two earned, but that was the game I was at. I mean, he was not sharp. He was walking guys, deep counts. He was, you know, he has not looked really sharp in a number of starts now. So, Kurt, you alluded to it. On MLB Network Radio, Copy said the offseason needs are catcher, which we've heard him say for the last month and a half, but also starting pitching, which I had not heard him say all year. And you said it was surprising. I mean, it's surprising, not surprising.
Sure. Surprising that he would say it.
Right.
And that they have built all this, sorry to cut you off, but they built all this pitching depth and pitching prospects, and they've built this whole thing around pitching, and now they're going to have to go out and hire some guns to come in and tread water, I guess, for them.
Yeah, and they're just not ready. And that's not even, I mean, all these guys were really young. I mean, these were young prospects, right? Beyond Tehran, you know, maybe Folty next year. And then after Folty, I feel like it's another level down of, you know, Whistler, Blair, and can you trust them? And there's really no one else of, you know, of the big names. I mean, Newcomb will probably move up to AAA next year, but he's not starting the year in the rotation. Who knows about Williams Perez? And it's insane that we're even thinking Williams Perez could be part of the starting rotation next year.
Well, and Whalen, I guess, is a guy that
Whalen, maybe Gant, maybe.
But I mean, Coppola, you know, we'll talk about the Kemp stuff that he talked about, but I mean, he was not really holding back on talking about Whistler and Blair either, you know? I mean, he was saying that you can't count on these. They have no reason nor belief that they can count on these guys. And frankly, you have to add Jenkins after he just got sent down.
He has
to be added to that list.
Yeah.
And that they're not just going to get a shot, which is great. I mean, it's tough parenting, whatever it might be. But, you know, that they've got to earn their way back up here, which is the way it should be. And maybe because of the situation that the Braves are in, because they're so bad, these guys might never have been up here on a contending, I mean, but I shouldn't even say contending team.
An average team,
a decent team. They would be making up the rotation in AAA or AA or wherever they might be. But I guess part of me also with this is, you know, and I'm not suggesting that any of these guys are going to go on to be Hall of Fame pitchers, but I mean, we saw the season with John Smoltz when he was very young and he started out, whatever it was, 2-10, 2-12 that year. Yep. And everybody wanted them to get rid of John Smoltz, send him down, do whatever they had to do. And Bobby Cox stuck with him. And he completely turned it around that second part of the season. And then the next few years, he was as dominant as any pitcher in baseball. So, I mean, Whistler's had his opportunity. Blair certainly had his opportunity. Jenkins has had his opportunity. And it's not like it's been one or two games. But
I don't fault them for sending these guys down. I mean, back to the confidence game.
Is it better to have Yoel De La Cruz or whoever up here pitching and getting shelled? I mean, Fausto Carmona, is it better to have throwing those guys out there than – I mean, is that what you think? It's just a confidence? You think that's
– I think it's about confidence. I don't think it's about – I mean, they say, you know, we've got to win. And Coppy, even in the interview today on MLB Network, said – we got to start winning games next year and all that stuff. But I hope that more than anything, it's about the confidence for these guys. I mean, Tyrell got just destroyed last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ugly. You know, he couldn't get guys out. I mean, I think that you got to work on some stuff. Maybe next year is a little different. Maybe they pick one or two guys that they ride out a little longer once they have, after having this year under their belt. But I think this has been the way to play it. I really do.
Sure.
All right. So speaking of, Tyrell was optioned after Saturday night's start and John Gant came off the DL and he hopefully had some stability. I mean, they haven't announced it formally, but I'm sure he will get the start this week. But, Kurt, back to the I can't believe this is our rotation. I mean, we're depending on Gant and Whalen to be part of the starting rotation this year. And these are the two guys that we got for Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe last year.
Well, you got to give Cop a little credit for that part of it.
But. You do, but it is some strange times around here.
And it's, the Braves they're just not fielding a professional team at this point. I mean, this is a AAA team in a lot of regards that they're throwing out there. And they're just, they cannot compete. I mean, I know we talked last week about improved play, but they had started their slide before we did that show. We were trying to be a little chipper, but they've looked so bad this week.
Yeah, the pitching more than anything. I mean, Dave O'Brien had some stat, like some date in mid-July.
17th.
To now. Yeah, the 17th. They haven't – a starting pitcher hasn't gotten into the 7th.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
And it's just killing the bullpen.
Oh, and the bullpen's not that great to begin with.
So right, but now it's just been horrendous.
Yeah. Well, we get Tehran back this week, hopefully, so –
Well, we get Tehran. I mean, he started Friday, but was rusty.
Right.
But yeah, Tehran should hopefully stabilize it some. All right. So staying with Coppola's interview, he said about Matt Kemp, quote, "A big part of why he isn't real good in left field is because he's out of shape. If he gets in shape, he'll be much better." So look, I know that I'm the guy that hates the Kemp trade more than anything, but why do you make this trade when this is apparent before the Braves traded for him? It's not like it was a mystery that he was listed at 215, but was really, 240 or 250. I mean, isn't it weird? Like, were they banking on next year and that he'd get in shape in the offseason?
I honestly think that the Braves think that they're, like, we give them a lot of credit for these clever moves that they make that pay off, but I think that they think they are the smartest guys in the room. And I think that sometimes it works out. Like they bring in Brzezinski and he has a, resurrection career year type
last
of situation.
Year.
Yeah, last year. So that, look what we did. Look how smart we are. I mean, Gordon Beckham started off great. Frank Coors, whatever it might be. I think that they can keep mining sort of the dregs and pull some guys out. And, it's paid off well that they've been able to kind of dump a lot of these guys and get some young talent for him, which obviously was part of it. But Kemp is a different story because obviously they think that he is some part of it going forward.
Yeah, really the right-handed power bat.
It was interesting that he cleared waivers.
Well, not that interesting.
Well, but I mean, it just seems – I mean, just would they have traded him?
I think they're just seeing what
– And I know that it's procedural, but I mean, seriously, if they'd gotten an offer for him, would they have turned around and traded the guy?
Yeah, good question. Depends on what they would have gotten. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm of the mind that they just threw more bad money after the bad Oliveira money. Right. So maybe they had that realization and were going to see if someone, you know, offered something.
Well, and it goes sort of to the owner of the Padres who ripped Kemp after he left, that basically he got fat and lazy when he was taking all the guy's money.
Yeah.
So I assume that the Braves think that, you know, change of scenery, as we always talk about, is going to help Matt Kemp. And maybe it will. Hopefully it will. But I mean, do they honestly think he's going to get back to where he's batting 325?
I don't know.
50 home runs or something?
I mean, his attitude may be fantastic, but, you know, he can't move around very well, and he's not a very good left fielder, and he overthrew the cutoff man last night. I remember at some point in the game last night, it, you know, resulted in a guy taking an extra base. I mean, he's just not sharp. He's not sharp.
And I mean, to me, it all points that they're going to try and get rid of Marquez so they can move Kemp over to right field. That seems pretty obvious because you get Malik back, I guess, put Malik in left, keep Inciarte if they don't trade Inciarte in center.
Right. Or you trade Inciarte, you put Malik in center, you move Kemp to right and you move Marquez to left. I mean, I feel like it'll be one of those two
something
things.
Something like that. And the thing that Capoello said about moving Marquez to left, he's like, well, he's a veteran and it's middle of the season and you don't want to mess with these guys' routines and all this kind of, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
You had him playing first today.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Kurt, Andrew Jones was elected this week to the Braves Hall of Fame. You think he's deserving of that honor?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he's an all-timer in my book. I do think it's interesting, and not to, I feel like I'm being very negative, but somebody raised a good point when the Hector Oliveira stuff was going around, that we were very adamantly opposed to Hector Oliveira ever having any presence with the Braves ever again. And we sort of forget that there were a couple of these favorite Braves that we had that had some off-field issues as well, sort of very similar to Hector Oliveira, Andrew Jones being that one in particular.
Yeah.
So he's deserving as a player. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And he was a monster. I mean, other than his last year with the Braves, it was pretty bad at the plate. I mean, he slashed 222, 311, 413. But other than that, I mean, we know about his power. And he walked, too. You know, his OBP was always in the mid-threes for the most part.
When he the walk-off walk?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
I think that was him.
Yeah. His OPS was typically in the eights most years. And, of course, he was the best center fielder I ever saw play. And I think the best one in our lifetimes.
Maybe ever.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of Willie Mays games.
Well, and it was funny because they kept showing the clip because obviously they gave away the bobblehead of him making that ridiculous catch.
Yeah, the catch, yeah.
And Skip Carey was the commentator for that play, and they kept playing the clip over and over again. It was awesome to watch, but he was like, that's a better play than Willie Mays made. Because he's like, Willie Mays made an over-the-shoulder catch, which is an amazing catch, but Andrew Jones made an over-the-shoulder catch as he was jumping into the wall.
Yeah.
And then he turned and fired back to first and almost doubled off the runner. So,
amazing. He was amazing. I'm happy for him.
Well, and the two homers in the 96 World Series to become the youngest at the time player to hit two home runs in the same game, I think, in a World Series.
Yeah, that is absolutely right.
And how heroic it would be if they had won that World Series.
I know. Oh, God. All right, Kurt, let's go down on the farm and we'll look at some pitchers as we're talking pitching depth. In this show. So in AAA, Whistler went 3 earned over 7 with no walks in his last start. It was a couple of days ago. And that's pretty encouraging, frankly. Blair, in his last start, 7 hits, 5 earned in 2 innings. Not so encouraging. Blair has not had a dominant start in AAA since he returned, which is kind of extra troubling because he was so dominant in AAA and it's what forced his promotion. He has not really found it again. All right, in Double A, Sean Newcomb, 3 earned over 5 with 1 walk. He's really continued to look good. Max, and I don't know how to pronounce this last name, guy's last name, P-O-V-S-E, do you know? Is it Pose?
I do not know.
Yeah. He went 8 innings over 0 earned his last start.
Where is he from?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm just interesting. That's a name that I have not heard pop up.
Yeah. He's one of the top 20 prospects.
Oh.
And then Colby Allard, who was, you know, last year's first round pick, he went 8 innings, 2 earned and no walks today. And he continues to look better and better. This is in single A, sorry. And then Tukey had a 5 2/3 inning, 1 earned. He's given up 1 earned in each of his last 3 starts, but still a number of walks. All right, Kurt, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, so let's check in on last week's listener pick submitted by Matt Ellis, who predicted that Jace Peterson and Eric Ibar would both have at least 4 extra base hits, including a homer each. Now, my favorite part of this Shot in the Dark, Kurt, is that Ham, like, forgot the internet existed and picked this one a good hour after Ibar had been traded. But we will go with it anyway. So Peterson had 1 double and 1 homer. Today's walk-off winner. And what a game for Peterson today.
That catch was amazing.
That catch was amazing. And then the walk-off homer.
And stay in the game. I mean, I'm sorry. He face-planted going full bore into the wall, and he stayed in the game.
No, amazing. And Ibar had, for the Tigers, of course, 2 doubles. So thanks, Matt, for submitting that Shot in the Dark. All right, let's see how the three of us did. So I predicted that Adonis would have more homers and doubles than either Freddie or Kemp. Adonis had 2 doubles, and that's it. Kemp had 3 doubles and a homer. Freddie had 2 doubles and a homer, so not so good for me.
And then hurt his finger.
Yeah. How about that late-breaking news? For those that didn't see it, Freddie got a shot in his finger, and he was not available today. It was not just the day off that we thought. All right, so Curtis, I'm sorry, Hammy. Hammy predicted that Kemp would hit 3 or more homers and strike out 12 or more times. He had 1 homer, that was today, and 3 strikeouts. So not so good for Hammy. And then Kurt, you predicted that Tehran would go 7-plus with 2 earned or less. He went 5 with 3 earned. So no one wins this week. But Kurt, you remain with a commanding 2 wins this month.
Time is running out.
The time is running out. All right, so Kurt, Ham predicted for this coming week that the Braves will score 3 times as many runs in Arizona as we do in San Francisco. How about you? What's your Shot in the Dark?
Going with our starting pitching woe theme, I'm going that the starting pitchers will combine to pitch fewer than 35 innings this week. That's 5 a start for you math whizzes out there.
Yeah, God, I hope that doesn't continue.
Yeah,
all right,
me too.
I'm going to jump on the Dansby train and predict that he has 3 or more extra base hits this week. All right, folks, don't forget to get your Shots in the Dark in on Twitter or Facebook before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we will discuss it on next week's show. So, Curtis, let's look at next week. 7 games, all on the road, 4 in Arizona and 3 in San Francisco. And let's take a look at the pitching matchup. So we start in Arizona. It's Folty versus Zach Godley and his not-so-ungodly 4.85 ERA.
Well done.
Thank you. Next is Whalen versus Archie Bradley in his 5.04. Third game will be Tehran versus Zach Greinke. Kind of sexy. Greinke has a 4.21 ERA. And the final game in Arizona will be, I'm assuming, it wasn't announced, but I assume it will be John Gant versus Robbie Ray in his 4.3. All right, so on to San Francisco. We'll get De La Cruz against Samardzija and his 4.24. Samardzija has not been very good. I don't know. He's pitching tonight in the Sunday night game. Not sure how he's doing. But his last 15 starts have not been very good. Game 2 will be Folty versus Jake Peavy, who's really just not been good all year. He's got a 5.5 ERA. And then the last game of the week will be Whalen's second start versus Bumgarner, who has been very good all year, of course. He has a 2.25 ERA.
Samardzija has a no-hitter through 6.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Of course. Of course he does. Rounding into form for our game this week. So, Kurt, what do you think, these 7 games? What record do we pull off?
2-5.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And probably two in Arizona and getting swept in San Francisco.
Yeah, either way. I mean, if they went 0-7, I would not be shocked.
Yeah. All right. On that happy
note.
Yay. That is the show. Everyone, please remember, we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. And as always, you can find us on AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows and to check out our blogs and also to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit